We continue our thread of distance learning with HPR's Ashley Mizuo. She's been looking at how schools have adapted to learning from home. Good morning, Ashley.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what have the students been doing?
Basically, most general way that they've been delivering learning right now is mixed delivery. So they have physical packets and then also online class, which is usually like through WebEx or some kind of video teleconferencing mechanism. And then also sometimes doing pre-recorded videos of lessons and then sending those videos out to the students. But I mean, it differs from class to class, school to school, and even like teacher to teacher, just depending on how each teacher and each school has decided to run their classes. Most of the teachers I've talked to have said that they've discovered that when they do online class, it's really a lot easier to do it in small groups. So they'll break their, say, like 25-person class into groups of four and then just do like a bunch of different of the same lesson over and over and over with the four people groups. But the ones who seem to have a high participation with students coming to online class all the time, teachers think that their students are actually learning quite a bit through that. And I think the hardest part, though, for a lot of the teachers right now is just that feeling that they just didn't get enough time with their students. Here's Ashley Mikoho. She's a second grade teacher at Kanoʻalani Elementary.
I'm tearing up right now just thinking about it because I feel like I don't see them every day. I do see them during small groups and things like that, but I still feel like I wasn't able to spend the time that I wanted to spend with them.
And so I think for a lot of the teachers, it's just been an abrupt change really quickly, as has the students, and I think they just want to do their best, but it's been very difficult to do so.
So what's the feedback been like from the students? You know, is this effective?
Right. So, I mean, again, it depends on the school and it depends on the resources that the students have. Like, for example, so for Ashley Mikoho at Kanoʻalani, she says that about 80% of her students show up online every week and come to class, and she sees them all the time. But then if we flip over to a school like Fern Elementary in Kalihi, Leanna Akawili, she's also a second grade teacher at Fern who I spoke with, and she says out of her 21 kids, she can expect maybe 3 to 8 show up, and she says 8's kind of been the best, so 8 out of 21. And that pretty much just because she says a lot of her students just don't have access to internet. I spoke with Fern Elementary school principal, Glemia Sato, and he estimated that 65 to 85% of his students don't have reliable access to internet, which just makes learning so much harder for them.
I've heard from other schools in Honolulu in more affluent areas, and they're actually all following a common schedule, and learning is continuing on. But for our families, they're giving their best, but it's just a matter of equity. They just don't have the financial resources for all, for 100% of our families to have Wi-Fi access.
Another interesting thing that I learned when talking to Fern is that they're a one-to-one school, which means that they all have devices. So getting the laptops or the iPads into the hands of the kids isn't really the issue. It's more the internet access. You know, you can give your kids as many devices as you want, but if they don't have access to internet, it kind of makes the devices not as useful. And this is just kind of a common trend that I heard, where some schools I talked to and some teachers were saying that their kids are showing up all the time, and then others just barely even half. And so it just seems to be a big divide depending on the resources that the kids have at home.
And I know the different providers have tried to provide free internet service to students who need it, whether it's, you know, a private school or a public school, just because there's this great need. But it sounds like there are just some gaps that people fell through the cracks.
And so I pretty much think that, you know, some nonprofits have kind of stepped up to try to remedy it. Hawaii Kids Can is an advocacy group here, and they're working to do this thing called Wi-Fi on Wheels, which is supposed to be more than just Wi-Fi. They want to also partner with counseling services and food providers to set up in places of need to give students these kinds of resources. So they hope to have a pilot site coming out in the next couple of weeks, one in Nanakuli and then one in Kona on Hawaii Island. And especially for the food providing aspect of it, and yesterday, the Department of Education came out saying that they'll be closing many of their grab-and-go sites over the summer and that community groups should be able to step in and fill those gaps. So those kinds of resources are going to be really important. The DOE is also setting up their own mobile learning labs, and those are kind of similar to that Wi-Fi and Wheels project from Hawaii Kids Can. The labs are basically trying to help students who might have fallen behind for lack of internet access during fourth quarter. Those are supposed to get set up in early June, and the four sites are on Kau on Hawaii Island, Hana on Maui, Molokai and Kauai. But the bottom line is just that Wi-Fi connectivity has just been an issue before distance learning started, and it's just been exacerbated. So here's Sarah Millie Laffin. She's a teacher at Alima Intermediate, and she's one of the teachers working with Wi-Fi on Wheels.
The digital divide is front and center. So we can talk about the solutions like Wi-Fi and Wheels so we can get these kids access right now. But understanding in this conversation that this is not a one and done. There's no Band-Aid for this. There's no way to fix it automatically. Like, this is going to need to be a long-term solution.
And about 35% of her students in Eva Beach, they just don't have reliable internet access either. And she says that some families are even telling her that they're cutting the internet because they've lost their jobs and the internet's just too expensive. So for some, it's come down to, do I feed my kid or do we pay for internet?
And so we just don't have a good handle on how many families, how many students don't have access to the internet still after 2 months?
Yeah, not really. DOE has said that they're going to be trying to collect and compile that information. They recently sent home surveys to students and they're sending one to parents and teachers, and they hope to compile that information by July. Kind of the only information we have is that according to the U.S. Census, about 10% of households in Hawaii don't have an internet subscription. But obviously that isn't necessarily saying that that's 10% of students or what that really looks like, especially now that a lot of people have suffered greatly economically from the coronavirus outbreak. So there just isn't really reliable data right now on who has internet access and even attendance. We don't have really concrete numbers on how many kids have been able to show up for class or have been able to be contacted by their schools. So looking out for that information.
Well, hopefully they can address some of these issues because we're already getting into the summer and summer school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So hopefully they can close the gap in those areas. But thanks so much, Ashley.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was HPR's Ashley Mizuo with a look at the digital divide in our schools after 2 months of disruption in class learning.